in 10 minutes. Want to dive into whether or not Terry McLaurin's holdout turned issue with the team is going to cost him in any way with fans, or is that all forgotten as of today as he gets as an extension? We're going to talk about that in 10 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. But it is 5 o'clock on this Monday. We told you earlier in the show all week long right now, we're going to do 10 or 12 minutes on fantasy football and preview a position with a fantasy expert whose work we enjoy following and who we think will provide great insight for you guys as you get ready for your draft. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Jamie Eisenberg, fantasy football NFL analyst for CBS Sports, is with us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jamie, we appreciate it. And on day one, we've chosen to talk quarterbacks, and you are the guy to help us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great, buddy.
Very well. To the people that have already had drafts before this week, what do you say to them?
I say, I hope you got a discount on Jacory Kroski-Merritt and you didn't overdraft Brian Robinson.
Tip of the cap, sir.
Yeah. Localize. You know your audience here. You're cutting a promo. All right, let's talk QB. So give us a couple of guys the arrow's trending up on, down on this draft season.
I think it's kind of one of those positions where you have a very strong group at the top, and then it's a big middle, and then a lot of guys that you can get some good value on. You know, some of the late-round guys that I like, which the arrows would be pointing up, would be Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, despite the thumb injury. Still Justin Herbert to an extent. You know, there are some good late-round quarterback options, but really it's the guys at the top and when you want to commit to drafting them. So that's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. Those are in a different tier than everybody else.
Apologies, Jamie. What rounds make sense? I mean, there's always going to be the overzealous person who's so excited and does it in round two or, you know, back in round one or early round three, et cetera. I see you let them have theirs. But what round makes sense to grab one of those marquee guys? And then what round sort of makes sense generally for part of that middle pack that you're talking about?
So I think it depends on, you know, if you start three receiver leagues or two receivers, that's kind of, you know, going to determine for me at least when I'm going to dip my toe into the quarterback pool. The earliest, though, would be round three. You know, we kind of see that as a little bit of a lull because the tier break between the running backs and the receivers is kind of at that spot. So if you're not thrilled with the group of running backs like Alvin Kamara and maybe some of the rookies like R.J. Harvey or Trevion Henderson, you're not sold on the older wide receivers like a Mike Evans or Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams, you know, the quarterback should be sitting there. So I think the first three guys will probably come off in terms of Jackson, Allen, and Daniels in that spot. And then early round four is when you'll see Burrow or Jalen Hurts. And also scoring matters, whether it's 6 points for passing touchdowns or 4 points, but whether Burrow goes ahead of a guy like Hurts or behind him.
Is there any real case to be made, Jamie, that Lamar Jackson shouldn't be QB1 off the board? And then give me the tiers of that top group. You mentioned, I think you said Jackson, Allen, Daniels, Hurts, Burrow, something like that as a top five. Like, give us an idea of what the tiers are even within that five.
So I put them all in the same tier because last year Burrow was the number two quarterback. You know, he could be the guy that throws for 5,050, you know, like we saw Mahomes once upon a time. I kind of just lumped them all together. But if we were going to separate them, I put the first three as Jackson, Allen, and Daniels, and then a slight break between Burrow and Hurts just because I think based on what the first three guys do with their legs and as passers, I kind of separate them a little bit. Hurts, if he decided to throw the ball more, I think would be in that group. But I don't think you're going to commit to throwing the ball as much as long as Saquon Barkley is healthy. So there's a little bit of a tier break there between the first three and the second two. And then, Dan, I didn't get your other question in terms of the middle tier guys. So when you get to that group of Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix, I put Dak Prescott in that group as well. The earliest I want to draft those guys is like round six. But Mahomes, if Rashi Rice's suspension, which we're not going to know until most likely after the first 4 weeks of the season, is minimal, I think Mahomes could challenge to be in the top five. But I don't think if he doesn't have Rice for the majority of the season, I think it kind of puts him just slightly behind those guys.
So I'm glad you brought him up. And Jamie Eisenberg is our guest from CBS as we talk a little fantasy football here on Grant and Danny. We'll do a different position every day right at 5 o'clock this week to get you ready for your drafts. Mahomes, I think there's a case to be made. He's the greatest quarterback of all time this deep into his career. He's outpacing and outperforming in every way. Tom Brady is an example who people have with that distinction. But it's been three seasons since he was a beast statistically. I don't know what I'm missing. Like, it was barely 4,000 the last couple of years with mid-20s touchdowns. He doesn't really run a lot at all. Like, what am I missing about him to be the QB6 in fantasy football?
Well, I think first off, the expectations the last 2 years were unrealistic for what everybody was thinking. Exactly what you're saying, which I don't disagree with. You know, he's tracking still to be, you know, arguably the best quarterback of all time. And so for them, it was more, I think, about wins, getting to the end of the season, make sure everybody was healthy, and then sort of flipping the switch. We saw it 2 seasons ago when it worked in the 2023 campaign. It didn't work as much, obviously, in 2024. But right now, it looks like their offensive line is going to be maybe as strong as it's been in the last couple of years. And hopefully the receiving corps will be as strong as it's been the last couple of years, maybe ever for Mahomes, because if he has Rice for the majority of the season, you saw what Xavier Worthy was at the end of last season. Marquise Brown is a very underrated third receiver. They have a couple field stretchers and a guy like Tyquan Thornton, for example, which could open up some things. And then we'll see what Travis Kelce has left. So I'm curious to see if it's going to be, okay, we've stacked our Super Bowl rings. We're still going to be in the mix, but maybe now it's padding my legacy a little bit and trying to get back in that MVP conversation that he was left out of last year because of Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and obviously Josh Allen. So that's the hope, is that he comes out and says, you know, I'm going to be aggressive, attack, not just wait for, you know, Andy Reid to say, go get me a touchdown. Let's do that on every other drive. And if that happens, he could be one of the best statistical quarterbacks. So the value is much better. The expectations are more in check. And if he fails as a round 6 pick, you're okay with it comparatively to where he was last year as a round 2 pick.
Jamie, I have what I always call my Curtis Martin corollary, which is we're always looking for the next big thing and we ignore the boring, dependable, good thing to the tune of a guy that's like top 5 all time in rushing and a great fantasy player almost every year in Curtis Martin. I never owned him just because I was like, this is so boring. It's going to break down. I want the new exciting thing. Where's that with quarterback? And are we missing value maybe on some guys that are kind of old, faithful, and dependable, even if their names that are, you know, aren't that exciting to us anymore?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great comparison. I think the old dependable guys, or at least, I don't want to say they're old, but the dependable guys feel like Dak Prescott is a good one because when he's been healthy, he's been one of the better fantasy quarterbacks, and part of the reason why Dallas has good regular seasons and not great playoff runs. And so now you're adding George Pickens to CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson and probably a bad run game, and we could see a lot of high-scoring affairs for the Cowboys from an offensive standpoint, so I like him. Jared Goff is coming off a great season. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back because it's kind of unrealistic to expect them to lose their coordinator and 2 offensive linemen and to still be as good as they were. But, you know, you're seeing maybe an additional weapon in Tesla and, you know, the same cast of characters with maybe a better year for Jameson Williams. So Jared Goff is going to still be one of the better quarterbacks and probably continually underrated. And then you have, you know, some of the guys that if you just wait on the position, you know, again, Justin Herbert, T.J. Stroud, Tua Tagovailoa, you know, they're not going to be great. And they may have some you know, clearly flaws. You know, the Chargers are going to run the ball a lot. The Dolphins have a lot of questions with everything. But, you know, Tua's a year removed from leading the NFL in passing yards. C.J. Stroud was a huge bust last year. But, you know, if he bounces back and maybe has a better receiving core because everybody's healthy now, can also deliver some. So you can get some good play fantasy production from that position without having to spend a lot of draft capital on it.
So to that point, and Jamie Eisenberg of CBS is with us on Grant and Danny talking fantasy quarterbacks. I have done this for years where I won't draft a QB before, like, I don't know, rounds 12 to 15. And I'll forever, it was, you know, your like Derek Carr, you know, Jared Goff, essentially, like that type of player. And it would just be 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns. And I wasn't going to win or lose the league on that. But it seems like the way now things have trended with the running quarterbacks and the touchdowns that are 6-pointers, that is putting me behind more and more. Are those days done, or do you still not have a problem with that philosophy?
It worked out great last year. You know, if you just look at average draft position and then finish, 5 quarterbacks that were drafted after basically pick 100 overall. Jared Goff was also in that range. Bo Nix was not drafted in the majority of the leagues. There were a lot of guys that you just got, you know, lucky with that they performed at the level that they did. And I think that's where the position's at, to be honest with you. It's like, while they're not always great NFL quarterbacks, they're able to produce at a high level. And like you said, the running quarterback sort of changed that. So one of my favorite guys that for some reason is still going late is Drake May. You know, all they've done is given him a better offensive coordinator, rebuilt their offensive line, rebuilt their receiving core. And he was on pace last year for his 10 healthy games to be third among quarterbacks in rushing yards with about 630. So you can get him for almost for free on draft day. I have him as a top 12 quarterback, but Fields is very polarizing. Obviously, what he's going to do with his legs is going to probably supersede what he does with his arm. But he's great for fantasy, better than in reality. You know, now you have Daniel Jones. So last time we saw him as a full-time starter, you know, 3,700, which is, you know, only 16 quarterbacks have ever done that in NFL history. Maybe Anthony Richardson gets back in there. Kyler Murray is falling on draft day. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with the position. For me, I tend to wait just because if I don't get one of those top five guys, I'm probably just going to play it out and get some value as the draft goes on.
I know we're focused on quarterbacks, Jamie, but this is kind of more of a general question. You're one of the experts I'm really a big fan of. Just in terms of your approach this year, it's hard to find consensus on almost anything at the top of the board, the middle of the board, sort of, et cetera. Just sort of where are you generally, you kind of answer this now, but go into it. Where are you normally drafting quarterbacks, and how are most of your rosters and teams kind of set up here as you go about your leagues?
Yeah, I really, when it comes to quarterback, I'm looking for the best value that I can possibly get. So I did a draft last week. You know, it depends with other fantasy analysts because we're all sort of playing the quarterback waiting game. So I got Lamar Jackson like in the round four, round five range, you know. So if I see one of those top five guys, you know, fall past round four, it's just easy to select them and just kind of figure out the rest. Generally, I'm living in the middle to the back end of my top 12, which is Bo Nix, Dak Prescott, Drake May, Justin Fields, Kyler Murray, you know. And then if I take those guys and I don't love a lot of the late round value on certain players, I'll take an upside play on a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who I think will benefit in a major way with the addition of Liam Cohen and Travis Hunter. Again, I think Jordan Love will bounce back because he played through two injuries last year. So there's good number two quarterbacks that you can find. In a lot of cases, depending on how your league goes, you may find them on waivers, you know, early in the season. So for me, I tend to load up on running backs and receivers early. I'll take the value on one of the top three tight ends, which would be Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, or George Kittle. But for quarterback, I tend to wait on the position and try and find one of the late round values that hopefully will hit. Like I said last year, you know, find one of those top 10 guys later in the draft.
Two QBs. I'll let you out on this one that I'm just curious about this season. What are your expectations statistically for Bryce Young in Carolina and same division, Michael Penix in Atlanta, first year as a starter?
So another, you know, pair of quarterbacks that you can wait for more as number two options. You know, you could throw J.J. McCarthy in that conversation too, just another young quarterback. But the two you asked about specifically, look, they showed some nice things at the end of last season. Bryce Young, you know, after getting benched, he bounced back. I think getting Adam Thielen back was big for him because he missed the start of the season with a hamstring injury. And now you throw Teterell McMillan in there, maybe a solid receiving core that's going a little bit underrated, especially if Jalen Coker gets some more playing time as well. So I do think Bryce Young's going to have a good season. I just don't know, like, where his ceiling lies personally. You know, we're talking maybe 21, 22 points per game in a 6 points per passing touchdown league. So not a huge ceiling, but good enough to be in the top 12 conversation. And look, for Michael Penix, they averaged over 30 points per game last year as an offense, as a team, I should say. Great running back, two great wide receivers, maybe still a good tight end, a defense that's going to struggle so they could throw the ball a lot. I don't love the offensive line injuries that they're dealing with right now, but it wouldn't shock me if he's in that top 12 conversation as well. So you know that division's bad. They're going to have a chance for some shootouts. And so if you do miss on the position, those are two guys that can certainly be, again, the type of quarterback that I mentioned that could creep into that top 10 conversation by the end of the year.
Jamie, keep up the great work, man. I'm a fan. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Check out Jamie's work at CBS. Hopping on Grant and Danny every day at 5, different position. Tomorrow, we will talk running backs. So excited to be able to help get you guys ready for your drafts and selfishly get ourselves ready for the Grant and Danny Listener League draft.
A little bit of that, yeah.
Pupatella in Springfield on Wednesday night. Daris, Ryan, Toby putting the league together, finalizing everything. So you will hear from them if you made the league. A lot of people trying to get in, and we are pulling names and finalizing things today. You'll hear from them tonight, and then we draft on Wednesday. But let's get back to the story of the day. A lot of people getting out of the office right now, driving home. Terry McLaurin got a deal done with the Washington Commanders. 3 years and $96 million is what was announced. That's inevitably going to be kind of what's the maximum possibility here. You'll notice that there's no guaranteed money announced still, which means that the agent is not putting that out with these terms. You'll notice that there are a lot of other questions about the specifics, the semantics of the deal. But what's really important is the national nightmare is over.
Yeah, signed.
Terry McLaurin and the team have struck a deal. He's going to be on the practice field tomorrow, and that means he is going to be ready to play against the New York Giants. I think on a pitch count, probably not as many snaps as he would have played if he had a full offseason. They've got to get him into football shape over the next 2 weeks leading up to that game. But he is back. He is with the team. And he is going to be a non-distraction moving forward, which is significant because they really didn't have any other distractions mm-hmm. in an otherwise harmonious build-up to the season.
It was the cloud. I mean, the only other stuff is a matter of football stuff. Did they do enough in the preseason? Did they get enough out of the joint practices and the workouts? Do we care that they look kind of lethargic and not that great in their three games? Those are normal, regular old run-of-the-mill football conversations that will have time in memoriam. And that's fine. And that's what it's supposed to be, by the way, is everything is second-guessed. If you play your starters too much in the preseason and you get a Clinton Portis injury, is that a problem? If you don't play them enough and they look lethargic in week one, is that those are great conversations that should be had. This was the only cloud. I mean, this was really the first major fork in the road for Peters and company. I mean, we're not at the point where we can and should be too critical of any draft picks just yet, even guys that haven't shown a whole heck of a lot because it's still so early. No one's writing the book on any of them. No one knows about this particular draft class, although things look promising. Jaden Daniels was a smash in year number one, and you enter into elite, wonderful conversation going into year two. This was the first challenge. This was the first time where we're all sitting there going, how are you going to act? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? And that kind of long saga that was drawn out where they weren't giving in and weren't giving ground has now ended finally, and it's with one of their most important players, one of their leaders, one of the dudes, back in the fold for this year. That's the part I'm most excited about.
Tom Pelissero of NFL Media during that interview actually came out with this, and Toby will have some deets for you in the update coming up in just a few. But four-time Pro Bowler Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals are closing in on a new contract.
Who would have thunk it?
So you've got McLaurin and the Commanders today. Hendrickson and the Bengals apparently on the precipice of a deal. Still no Micah Parsons with the Dallas Cowboys. So that one, I don't know how that's going to end, honestly. That one is angrier on the player side. That one seems to have the most animosity of all of them, whereas he and the owner agreed to a deal verbally, but then the agent wasn't involved, and the agent and the player probably had some kind of exchange where that wasn't pleasant. The player goes back and says, essentially, you tricked me into this. Don't talk to me. Talk to my agent. So there's actually some bad blood there right now, it feels like, where he's come out and thrown on the notes app, I don't want to play for the Cowboys. But on the same day, deadlines get deals. This is why I've been circling Monday the 25th over the last 3 weeks or so. It just felt to me like that's when the season starts. Cut down day is right now at facilities all over the country. You are forming your roster down to 53. The first practice with the actual football team is tomorrow. And so the date I was working from was everything before this is training camp and the preseason. Regular season mode, the switch gets flipped on August 25th. And that's why if nothing happened today and McLaurin still wasn't showing up, this is when I was going to start screaming and losing, you know, my voice. Didn't have to. And the Bengals, it sounds like, via this same deadline, were able to get something done with Trey Hendrickson. But here's what I want to get into next. I want to touch the people and get the opinions of you guys on this, because really, it's not something I can answer. This is about your mindset as a fan base. Does Terry's reputation moving forward in any way reflect this? He was such a model citizen, such a true pro. He did everything the right way for so long. And then this was kind of ugly. He did a lot of things, the likes of not going to a preseason game and, you know, holding out throughout mini camp and training camp and press conferences off site where he's talking about not being appreciated and did what he had to do to get paid, but no one has done this. All of the people that have come through this building, we've never had a holdout turned into a hold-in, turned into acrimony like this. It was Terry McLaurin who was willing to go the farthest to get paid. To that, I say good on him, kudos, but that's certainly not the way that all the fans were responding the entire way. Does his reputation take a hit, or is this just the ugly way that the sausage gets made, and now that it's over, no harm, no foul, we'll shake hands and move on? 800-636-1067. We'll get your thoughts on that next. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fin. All right, Darius, little instrumental 21 questions, 50 Cent. We feel good about this. Do you remember any of the questions, Danny, at all?
Mm-mm. I didn't even know that's what this was.
You a 50 Cent guy?
Yeah, I know some 50 Cent a little bit, but I didn't know that this was 21 questions or that there actually were questions in the song.
Let's see. What are some clean ones here?
Got to scan a little
bit. If I fell off tomorrow, would you still love me? That's a good one. If I didn't smell so good, would you still hug me? That one plays.
Yeah, sure.
Got to be careful here. If I got locked up and sentenced to a quarter century, could I count on you to be there and support me mentally?
Wow. That's a big ass.
Lyricist.
That's 25 right years, though.
That is a bar, actually. I used to love this song. This was my jam. If I went back to a hoopty from a Benz, let me just make sure. Yep.
And double check that line.
Would you proof and disappear like some of my friends? Nope, can't do that one. Any hoodles? 21 questions.
21 questions.
50 Cent. Way to go, Darius. You know, Darius has picked up his game ever since he played that Shrek song that one time. It seems to me like he's really starting to take this this song thing more seriously. Remember when he played the Shrek song?
No, which is the one
I saw her face.
And that bothered you?
He wasn't here for that.
Danny was out. It was you and Linnell.
So embarrassing. Yeah. So Linnell was in?
It was either Linnell or Toby, yeah. Mm.
Just so corny. It was just like, it was literally like Fiona and Shrek,
sure,
and Donkey. It was just
and
so
they were
bad
singing at the end. Yeah, that's tough.
Brutal. Terry McLaurin. 3 years, $96 million is what has been announced to this point. We're awaiting the actual details in this contract. But the story is, he has been signed. This is all over. He's going to be on the field against the Giants. I think he's going to be on a snap count. I know there are people that are suggesting maybe he won't be, that he's got 2 weeks, that he'll probably be able to ramp up to speed and go out and play just as much as he would have. That would be amazing if that's the case, and that would be a huge deal. Then I really do believe that, you know, this was, while a pain in the butt and problematic, you know, not nearly as significant a blow as we all assume. He just goes out there and plays 87% of offensive snaps.
Be
and
amazed.
Catches six balls for 89 yards or something. He's just Terry McLaurin. Okay. No harm, no foul. Good for you. You got some money and you're forgiven. I got this text from my buddy. I think this is the perfect answer to our question. So we're asking people, do you hold any kind of a grudge? Does your feelings at all toward Terry McLaurin change based on all of the last several weeks, or is it forgiven already? He says, this is a big Commanders fan, has been a season ticket in the a holder in the past. He goes, if our offense looks like S against the Giants, I'll give him some blame. Or if he gets a nagging injury, I'm going to be furious. He says, if they score 30 in a win in week one and they start fast in the first couple of weeks, I'll get over it. The holdout was very annoying, though. Felt incredibly selfish.
Did I send you that? Because that's my view.
Not from Danny Ruiz.
That's it exactly. Now, because my prediction is they're going to start slow. My prediction is he will start slow. And that was my gripe. Not him trying to get more money.
If neither happens, though, then what?
Then I'll go, I was wrong. Hold out more, I guess. If you're ready to go and without the things that you need to play football, that's the impression that I'm under, is we missed the moment where he needed to already be at practice and practicing for this year. The business of football this year was happening and he was not part of it, which means he was standing in the way, which means he was the cloud over everything. I'm not talking about the contract stuff. That was a separate detail. To me, if the things that I'm worried about come to pass, again, offense is sluggish, he's sluggish, soft tissue injury or whatever, I'll just be standing there going, yeah, this is the thing I was afraid of, and I will hold it against you. Now, that's not I hate that, boom. I'm not doing anything like that. That's not the case. Way too many good deposits in the bank, way too many good memories, way too many good moments, way too good of a dude. My point all along was, I didn't think that you would do this. Not that you wouldn't try to get more money. Of course that's reasonable. We should all try to do that. I'm talking about put the business of the current team, the current contract that you're under, second. I didn't think he was the kind of person that would do that. There are a lot of players that have done that. I didn't think that was the camp he was in. So all I did was I moved him from the perfect little angel camp to the, oh, maybe, you know, not total diva wide receiver head case jerk, but sliding down the spectrum a little bit towards that.
Yeah, but if you're angriest, it was worse than that, right? I mean, the day you're screaming about him not being at the preseason game.
Yeah, because that to me is indefensible. And I still believe that.
Yeah.
That is not something that I will ever think is the right call.
Football coverage on The Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL. CBS, Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS or Paramount Plus all season long. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's hit the phones, 800-636-1067. This is not one that I can answer. This is something I want to touch the people on. Does your feelings about McLaurin change at all? Do you have any different feel about the person, the player, than you did before all of this started? I'll answer and say no, the fan part of me. Not for me. We saw how the sausage got made. It was ugly. And frankly, I think he was more aggressive in the holdout based on what he was being told from his agent than most guys would or probably need to be. But if it works, it works. And if the contract ends up being player-friendly here, then that's his goal. He got what he wanted. But let's see what you guys think. Let's go to Disco and Laurel on the fan. What's up, Disco?
Hey, good afternoon. Grant, shout out to you, bro, on the 50. You got the you up on it, brother.
Hey, he was my guy.
Hey, man. Yeah, man. Hey, so let me say that it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm going to tell you why. Look, it's a business. If the team can take a hard stance, so can the player. It doesn't mean that he deserves what he's asking. But now, had this bled over into week one, I would have had a totally, totally different take on it. But I want to – you said this is the first time that this is maybe happened to people to come through these doors. Although it's not the same, Trent Williams a little bit, guys, because he said he wasn't going to play for the team anymore, wasn't about money, but in fact it was. He actually sat out. Wasn't it a whole season? He sat out a while, and ultimately he wanted more money. So not quite the same, but a little bit shades of Trent Williams. But no, hasn't changed my opinion of Terry one bit. He had to do what he had to do.
Appreciate you, Disco. So the only question I would have is when you say, and it's a good call, bleeds into week one. I think that's the essential part of it for everybody in this kind of conversation. What I mean is, for me, bleeds into week one means what you and I both think. He won't be full Terry McLaurin. He's not playing 67 snaps.
See, that's where we've always disagreed.
And that's where we disagree, and yeah. That's kind of my point. To me, the bleeding has already happened. We have bled. He has now cost himself the ability to start and be Terry McLaurin. Now, long term,
you don't know that, though. That's kind of always been my argument.
Of course
and
I don't.
In fact, I said, not that I know either, and I don't know any better, but just as a point of order, like my point was, if he comes back on August 25th and he has 13 days, that's plenty of time to essentially be Terry McLaurin at the start of the year. So that's the line in the sand I drew. You happened to draw yours a couple weeks earlier. And so you flew off the handle and got angry. That would have been me today. I would have done the Danny Rhea rant today.
No, we could both be wrong. He could need an hour and a half. He could need one pregame warm-up and be great. I'm just going off with really smart people that, A, play the position, Kadri Ismail, Dan Orlovsky today. Just, you know, common sense to me would indicate you probably need to practice some football at some point.
Totally.
You know, in the harsher settings.
At
yes,
some point could be 2 weeks.
Yes, and it could be. And it could be fine. So, but if we both think he's on a pitch count, doesn't that pitch count mean that he's not himself? Like, I'm talking about the 100% full version of him.
Yes, but
that's not reachable now, right?
Yes, I think that it is very possible. You are way more certain that he will not be himself than I am. I think there's a possibility he will not be himself. I'm not dealing with the same amount of confidence in that you are. But regardless, what I cared about was his availability to start the season.
Makes sense.
If he wasn't there, I'm Team Disco on this, what he basically just said. If he was not around to start the year, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Get your ass to the facility and be a professional. I cannot believe you've stooped to this level. You kind of got there when he didn't show up for the preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have really been to that extreme level until week one of the regular season. And your point is, he's already affected week one. A, I don't really think that coming back 2 weeks before, but B, affecting the definition, you're saying that you may not play the same number of snaps, or you might tire a little more, or you might have a slightly bigger chance of pulling a groin or whatever. I'm saying affecting week one by definition was not being there on week one.
Right. I think that's the distinction. So if you're closer to my camp, you're going, yeah, I'm annoyed. And if you're like, no, dude, he's under contract and on the roster, then you're not.
The Trent Williams thing, I actually had not thought about that once, so I'm glad he brought it up. It's actually, you know, he said this. It's not the same in any way. Trent, the season he missed was injury-related and cancer scare-related and all the other things that were going on with him. That was not a holdout. Like, he was not being fined for missing games every step of the way. It was kind of a completely different deal. But in the sense that he said he was never going to play for the team again, yeah, there was certainly drama with Trent Williams. There's no doubt about that. By the way, you know what we haven't mentioned today at all? And it just means that we haven't done a thorough conversation about this. We still don't know what McLaurin's ankle situation is. I mean, is he even going to be available for week one?
I hope that's the first question of Dan Quinn.
We probably have to make sure that Terry McLaurin's ankle is okay. Because what happens if he's unavailable to start the season? He's got an ankle injury,
for
God's
sake.
He has an ankle.
I mean, he was cleared from PUP. Right? So he's not on PUP.
He's not on PUP.
He's on the return to play protocol,
but he has,
I think.
A pretty serious ankle injury.
Yeah.
He's kept him out for weeks.
Weeks.
We probably should have mentioned that earlier in the show.
Return to play.
Let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Edwin?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I feel that I don't feel any differently about. I'll say why I feel that I don't feel differently about Terry, but I feel differently about Peters. I'll say why. As for Terry, he did everything by the book, pretty much. That's the only reason you'd be upset with him is that he actually stood up for himself.
Well, I will say really quickly, I'm going to let you finish Kanye style. They're not showing up for the preseasons, not by the book. Trey Hendrickson was there. Micah Parsons was there. No showing a game. Now, the team may have told them they don't want him there because of the Monday Night Football cameras. I don't know. But the Bengals certainly didn't do that to Trey Hendrickson, who was even angrier. So that's not really by the book. That was kind of above and beyond.
Okay. I'll say it was by the book just because they were refusing flat out to negotiate or do anything. And he has to do what he has to do in order to get arrive here. But okay, we can disagree on that. I do feel differently about Peters because with his extensive 1 year as a GM in the NFL, he seems to have all this benefit of the doubt, all this trust. We hear people saying, Adam Peters, we trust. And I'm wondering why. First of all, we have several draft picks that he's made who are right here on the team. We're still wondering if they'll come good or if they're just busts, mainly in Ben Sinnott and McCaffrey. He had this thing with Terry draw all this time where he could have been in training camp. He could have practiced. They refused to negotiate. So he affected the chemistry of things in training camp towards the season. Then he's made trades also that are kind of questionable with the Lattimore trade. He traded a third-round pick. The guy didn't do anything last year. He looked washed. This year, we're wondering if, and this is a player who's had a history of many injuries. So I feel that this is probably the first big event that many fans will now put him under the microscope and say, we've just thrown a benefit of the doubt towards him. Let's actually see what this guy is doing.
Because yeah, that would be another good way to ask the question.
Yeah,
it's like, do you feel any differently about Adam Peters moving forward? Do you hold any, ill will might be too strong, but do you hold any kind
of
a grudge?
Like, you okay with all this?
Yeah, about how he handled this. I would point out he's been the GM for 1 year. They won 12 games, which they hadn't done since 1991, and an NFC championship game. Now, most people will say, well, yeah, Jaden Daniels, which is the answer key. He drafted him, and he didn't have to. He could have taken Drake May. He could have taken Bo Nix. He could have done something else, right? Mm-hmm. So he gets credit for that, if that's the point. But I actually think that that's probably fair. Like, the best thing in the world that ever happened to Adam Peters, because it can make up for 15 mistakes, is you drafted Daniels. Same for Dan Quinn and the coaching staff.
Sure.
Around like they're headed to the Hall of Fame. You know, what if you drafted Michael right. Penix right there? It could be a different conversation.
Totally. A lot of their one-year deals worked pretty damn well, I would say. There's some other feathers in his cap, too. But the only thing I would take issue with out of the call, and it was a good one, is the definitive, the team refused to negotiate. Now, I saw that. I know the report, too, the 45-minute press conference at Eastern Motors, where your job's your credit, where he said they haven't called me. Do we know that the agent was begging and pleading for them to come to the table and please come up, we'll come down? I mean, my point is there's so much we don't know about this dialogue that to say, this is Peters, he refused to budge. Looked like some budging happened at some point from somebody.
When nobody's giving you any information and the team wasn't really giving anybody information, all you can do is go off of the report.
Sure.
And the reports were on both sides that you heard a Schefter say a million times, including an hour before the news broke today. What's that worth? That neither side was budging, that they weren't really coming closer together. So that's what he's basing his opinion on, which I don't think is wrong to do. Now, we don't know if it's right or not, but that's all we have is the reports. Same thing we were basing the money guesses on the entire time, which I think was the only thing we can do if nobody's willing to. You can't not give us information and be mad that we're wrong.
Right.
You don't get to do both of those two things if you're the team or the player or the agent or whatever. But yeah, I always say this about GMs. It's a batting average business. Like, every GM's going to miss a lot of draft picks, going to miss a lot of free agent signings. You're trying to bat 600 to be an elite Hall of Fame type GM, basically. And he certainly did that last year in his only year getting a crack at this thing as a well-regarded superstar in the making, according to a lot of people I talked to, before he got the shot. But if your point is, hey, he wasn't perfect, well, okay, you're not going to be in that job. And yeah, let's wait and see. But we could ask that question if he wants us to. We're asking you how you feel about McLaurin changed it all based on this. We could throw Peters into that as well. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bring an extra man here. Wants McLaurin. He's got him. Touchdown, Commanders. 32 yards. Two big ones through the air on this drive that goes 96 yards.
Joe Davis on the call. Fox NFL action. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The stare down between Terry McLaurin and the Commanders ended today with a 3-year extension. He's under contract for 4 years. We'll get all the details probably tonight into tomorrow, and then we'll really be able to figure out what happened at the end of this negotiation and who came closer to the middle. But in the meantime, what we know most importantly is that McLaurin will be on the field against the Giants. By the way, if you're curious about the back of the receiver depth chart, you and I have both speculated they'll definitely keep the five that we know are locks. Maybe a sixth doesn't get kept, or they're going to go sign somebody. One veteran off the market, 5-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Amari Cooper signed a 1-year deal today with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Back to the Raiders. He looked washed at his time last year in Buffalo. I thought that was going to be a coup for them, just finding somebody on the cheap, one of those, yeah, I'll go join the winning program and end up with a bunch of big catches. He just couldn't do anything for them, pretty much. Not much left in the tank.
I was frustrated at times by McLaurin and by the team, for the record. That goes mutually both ways. I was disappointed in both directions, but it's over now. In the same way, when they have the press conference, they're going to laugh this off and do a big hug and act like nothing happened, Leonsis and Muriel Bowser, Capital One Arena style. That's exactly what it's going to feel like. And there's going to be like even a humor to it, where they're like, oh, we always loved each other. You guys were the ones that didn't know what was going on. Ha, ha, ha. Elbow, elbow, elbow. There's going to be a lot of that. Kind of where I'm at on this. Bygones are bygones, man. It's over. He's back. I have no issue with McLaurin. I will say, if they have a terrible first week offensively, my tune could change. Or if he gets hurt in September, October, at some point, with some type of multi-week little thing, I'm 1,000% going to assume that his actions over the summer led to it. And so, you know, I'm still open to the possibility of coming back to the table and saying, all right, you hurt the offense, or you were the reason why maybe things didn't quite go well. Not just any performance, but I mean the passing game, or he's out of sync, or through 3 games, he's got a total of 6 catches for 50 yards or something. Like, if that happens, I'll reassess. But for right now, he was trying to get a contract. He did what he felt like he had to do. He got the contract, and he did it, by the way, with 13 days to spare. If this was 10 days from now, 3 days before the season, and they've ruled him out for the Giants game, I would feel very differently. It wasn't. He'll be at practice when his team starts practicing for the Giants for the first time after cutdown.
After cutdowns, yeah.
And that was kind of my line in the sand. Let's go to Reggie in Charlotte on the Odyssey app. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. I am 1,000,000% in Danny Ruiz's camp with this, simply because I held Terry at a high regard, and I've said this before. He was not supposed to be the guy to pull this, not the Eastern Auto thing where your job is your credit, mm-hmm. not the hold in, then the hold out, then the all of that. He was supposed to be our commander culture captain guy. And I've said before, it's easy to lead. It's easy to be a general in peacetime. It's easy to be the captain commander culture guy in year one and year two of your contract. But now I see like kind of your true colors, and I see that you're not that high pedestal guy, because you could have practiced. You, while you were negotiating and your agent was working this out, you could have been in the facility tutoring and giving tutelage and mentorship to Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey, building cohesion with Jaden Daniels, helping the offense and being the captain. And so when you set that example, in 2 or 3 years when Jalen Lane says, hey, I want a new contract, who do I look to, how they handle their business? Ah, Terry McLaurin. I'm going to hold out and hold in. And that's way down the line. But because he was such on a high pedestal with me as a fan, yeah, I wanted you in camp. I wanted you at OTAs. We're building something in the second year. We have something rare where we kept all of our coaches. We brought back, we got Jaden Daniels, a superstar quarterback. We've got continuity in the year where you do really, really well. You typically lose coaches, assistant coaches, and coordinators and such.
Reggie, it's a great
appreciate
call.
You, dude.
I mean, they 100% could have had a extremely harmonious, really quiet, distraction-free buildup. The stories would have been what? The Mariota Achilles, maybe?
Like, what's going on with Noah Brown? Like,
Brandon
that's as far
Coleman
as we're
Noah
bad.
Brown's
exactly,
injuries.
Yeah.
That literally would have been the biggest stories of camp, mm-hmm. other than the good stuff like Kroski Merritt breaking out. I mean, maybe one of the beneficiaries was like Luke McCaffrey, because we would have been talking more about him and Sinnott not really doing much or showing much. Maybe that's the negative stuff. But yeah, it was the one thing keeping this summer from coming off of 12 wins really being everyone pulling the rope in the same direction for one cause. The Brotherhood brother of the Brotherhood.
Like, I just never thought I'm with the caller. I just never thought he would do that.
But he had to get paid, and that's how you get paid. As you point out all the time, you get very little leverage. Mm-hmm. You don't really get to choose what your leverage is. It's right there for you. Your availability is all that you got, and your willingness to go put your body on the line. Mike in Lovettsville, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, bud?
Hey, I just want to start off, no hate on Terry. You had a caller a few weeks ago that brought up a point that I kind of brushed off at the time, but now it makes more sense. What do y'all think about the whole conspiracy of keeping focus in the media off of Jaden Daniels? By having this Terry McLaurin drama, if you will, especially since it kind of sounds like he's getting the money that he was asking for in the very beginning.
Well, it sounds like that. We don't have the deets yet,
yeah,
right?
What will be fascinating is when we get to peel back the onion finally. And the team isn't saying peep, and there's no leak in that regard. So leads me to believe that it ain't just 3 for 96. There's some complication
there. The agent is saying it's 3 for 96, as well they should. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out what it really is. Mm-hmm. Bet you it's not quite 3 for 96 out the door. There's going to be some other details here. But I remember the call. I thought it was insane at the time. I still think it's ridiculous. It's certainly not a thing. The call, for those of you that don't know, is someone suggested, no, they don't want everyone talking about Jaden Daniels and focusing on him. Why, I don't know, because it's all positive and all he's had is a great camp and whatever. So they're going to create this huge distraction of turmoil. Adam Peters is going to take a gigantic PR hit. Terry's going to be vilified for an extended period of time. Dan Quinn's going to get annoyed, asked about this.
Like the WWE writers are going, we'll have him skip the preseason game.
All the players are constantly going to be harassed about this. Talking about someone that isn't them and their decisions and actions. And it's all for what? Oh, so that nobody's talking about Jaden Daniels, who's an extremely positive story and everybody likes? That one doesn't really work for me. But that's funny. I honestly, the idea that someone brought it back up like 3 weeks later is even funnier than the first call.
Funny.
But I'm glad that my guy called.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Good to hear from, was it Lovettsville?
Lovettsville.
Checking in. Put him on the bingo board. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in before we're out of here, taking you up to 6:30. I want to look at the wide receiver depth chart next, and also what is a realistic expectation for McLaurin in week 1 against the Giants. You're listening to The Fan.